Okay, the recorder's on. This is World Affairs Monthly, and I have on the line today Mrs. Gail Tverberg. She is the well-known publisher of OurFiniteWorld.com, and she's very well-known. I don't really need to introduce her. Gail, it's great to talk to you. You know, I was really impressed with your article about the imminent, well, possibly imminent peak oil, both world and the United States. I just wanted to mention that, you know, to start off, the Fed is likely to, you know, drop rates, well, we don't know yet, but, you know, at least a quarter a point or half a point. And I noted a couple of days ago that U.S., I'm quoting CNBC.com, U.S. crude oil is down more than 13% this quarter, while Brent has fallen nearly 16% as demand slows in China, the world's largest crude importer, and OPEC Plus plans to increase production in December. Anyway, that's what I wanted to start off with. Now, if we have peak oil, Gail, and I'm not saying that we do not, I wrote an article about it recently, but if the crude is dropping like this in price, I think I know your answer, but why do you think this is the case?
Well, I think, you know, price behaves differently than the way economists think it does. There's this balance between supply and demand, and it doesn't work the way you would think. And what tends to happen, you know, you have to, a low price brings down production, but a high price doesn't immediately add supply. In fact, what it tends to do is draw too much supply simultaneously, and that sends the price way down because you now have too much relative to what the supply is, which is pretty constant, or the demand is, which is pretty constant.
Right.
So it's hard to make the system work very well.
Yeah, now, are you surprised by the drop in price of crude, say, this quarter, as CNBC states? Did it take you by surprise?
Not really. Apparently, the U.S. government is working on refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to pump the price up. That's what Biden administration is doing right now.
Yeah, now, what do you think of the price of crude right now? You know, it's about 70, and I mean... Now, the frackers, apparently, according to a bank analyst, I can't remember who he is. I saw him a couple of days ago on CNBC. He said that 40 is a break-even point for fracking operations, $40. What do you think of that number, and what's your opinion on the break-even point?
Well, I saw a chart today that was put together by the Dallas Federal Reserve, and it had numbers that were generally around 70, but they went up to 100 for the break-even point, and it was by play, you know, different parts.
Yeah.
But the point is that break-even is not anywhere near what you really need to have.
Of course.
You need to have enough money in there so you can drill new, you know, you keep exhausting your supplies, so you have to keep drilling more. You have to pay dividends. You have to pay taxes. You know, the whole thing just doesn't work at break even.
Right. And now the other thing I was trying to determine is how much of the 13 million barrels a day in the American production is from fracking, and how much is from the old conventional wells? Do you have any idea? I was thinking at least...
It's the vast majority is from fracking now.
Yeah. So 75% or even...
Something like that. Okay, yeah, 75-80%. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And now you're figuring this is not sustainable.
Well... The whole system works, you know, with trading it internationally. And, you know, our refineries are built for this mixture of oil that includes a lot of imported oil.
Yeah.
We can't run our economy on the kind of oil we're extracting, but we have never really done it that way. We've had a mixture supply.
Right.
So we depend on... Canada especially, but other places too.
Yeah, now we do import significant percentage of our oil. Is that right? You know, we're exporting now because they allowed Congress changed the law and said, okay, we can export oil. But could you explain the confusion about exports and imports? Because I figure, you know, I said 60%, but you're right, it's much higher. I'll have to change that. 60% is from fracking. Now, if we didn't have fracking, we would be down to maybe 4 million barrels a day or 5 or something like that? Or
yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. It's not the kind of number I memorize.
Okay,
And, you know, there's different kinds of oil is the problem. You know, there isn't just one kind of oil.
Yeah.
Refineries are made for a specific kind of, you know, need, you know, if it's a heavy oil or a light oil, or if it has different kinds of impurities in it. And so, and I think it also has to do with, forget if it's pH or whatever, but it's different characteristics that you don't always think of as being associated with oil.
Yeah.
So you need exactly the right kind of oil for a particular refinery. So each refinery needs to have its right kind of inputs, and then it puts out something based on what that refinery produces.
Okay. You know, I was just thinking a moment ago that your argument is persuasive insofar as the world is really kind of going down fast. For example, we have this Ukraine war, and I read in RT that the French government is saying, okay, this is the end of this Ukraine war because we can't pay for it anymore. And then we have this horrible situation in the Middle East. And, you know, things, and then, of course, interest rates have got to drop, because if we don't see lower interest rates, in fact, maybe down below, you know, even what they were a couple of years ago, we're going to default on our debt in the United States. And so the world is coming apart. You agree?
Well, it certainly does look that way. And I guess on the other hand, we're borrowing so much money, you know, how low can we expect the interest rates really to go? They're not particularly high by historical standards
now. No, they're not. But if we stay at the 5%, so it's a so-called Fed funds rate, I did my calculations. I don't think default is anywhere near, but, you know, certainly within 10 years to 15 years, because the interest cost, paying the interest on the debt, will be maybe 35% of our revenue. You know, maybe about that, even more. And so because interest rates are so high, and we have a really serious problem. I mean, we're not going to be able to pay for anything. Social Security and Medicare accounts for maybe at least between 60 and 65% of our spending, and maybe even 75 to 80% of our revenue. So what are we going to do, Gail? I mean, obviously, if we don't have cheap oil, and fracking oil is not cheap, your scenario is going to be realistic. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Well, you actually have to have the oil or whatever, the whole supply chain intact. And it doesn't matter how much you print, that doesn't mean you actually are going to get, you know, the end products that you thought you were going to get. So that's the real issue.
Yeah.
You know, you can say the government will print this, and this, and they'll be around for the next however many years, but we don't know that's really the case.
That's right. So I'm just going to rephrase what you said. We can print all the money we want, but if the system breaks down, the supply chain breaks down, we're not going to get our oil at an affordable price.
Well, we're not going to get it, period.
Yeah, period. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to be polite.
And you know, there's a real chance of things going badly. You know, we had the closures in 2020, which we didn't associate with oil, but I really associate with oil because shortage of oil.
Yeah.
And historically, war has gone along with inadequate fuel supply. It was coal in both World War One and World War Two, but coal oil also was a consideration in World War Two, I believe.
Sure. It's hard to believe the United States would have done so well without that huge crude oil reserves that we had in World War II. Hard to believe.
Well, and the fact that we were able to had lots of jets that could use that fuel too.
Right. Now your articles have a comment section. I think I've asked you this before, but you're probably, you've got an audience of people that agree with you. But, you know, are we still looking at, Gail, a situation where most Americans are more or less oblivious to this situation?
Well, people who are advertising in newspapers cannot tell you, oh, don't buy this car from us because we don't know quite how long you're going to be able to use it because we've got a bunch of problems ahead.
Yeah.
So needless to say, not only do those advertisers feel that way, so do the newspapers feel that way.
Right.
And the politicians can't go out and say, oh, we've got a problem. We've been working on it. We really haven't found a good solution, but we can't tell you that.
Yeah.
What we have to tell you is that it's right around the corner and we're making a transition. And this is what we need to do. And our biggest problem is climate change.
Yeah, no, I agree. We talked about this before. It's quite interesting. The rulers of the Western world are not able to say anything truthful about this situation. And then the public, the general public is credulous. You know, they think, well, the leaders say this, we should be okay. So it's really quite fascinating.
Well, and they think that certainly the price would be sky high if there were a shortage.
Yeah, that's why.
And it's not that way. And that's what's so confusing.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's why I started off our talk today with that drop in crude. You know, it's pretty steep in three months. So it's something I expected. And of course, I've been talking to you for many years, maybe, I don't know, 10 years or even whatever it was. And you started arguing that the price would fall, right? When did you start saying that, Gail? Maybe five,
seven? I don't remember, but I kept saying that the model that the economists are using doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, it's a two-sided, supply versus demand. You have to have the price high enough for the producer and low enough, essentially, for food prices because you use so much oil in food production.
Right.
So, you can't get the price up too high.
Yeah, no, you can't. Now, in your opinion, how high can this crude oil go before the demand starts to drop very fast? For example, here in California, you're probably aware, we pay a lot more than the average price of crude, gasoline in the United States. Premium, we have automobiles that take premium. But it's almost $5 a gallon for premium, mm-hmm. and it's probably $4.70 for regular. And most of the United States, it's what, $2.50, or what's it in Florida?
No, it's close to $3.
Oh, $3. Okay. And do you think $3 is still considered cheap for most Americans? I mean, they're...
Well, they when you see it reported in the paper, they say oil price is down from what it was a year ago, and this is such a good situation,
that's right, that's an ongoing theme that we've discussed, that nobody will talk about this.
Right.
So finally, at some point, the crisis becomes, what do I say? Inescapable, right? And so how far off do you think that moment is?
I think the crisis became inescapable in 2020 when the economy shut down.
Right.
It's inescapable now, but it's not inescapable in the way we're looking for it to be inescapable.
Right.
It's inescapable in the sense that Israel is out, fighting against the Hamas in Palestine there, and then at the same time now it's trying to do and bomb things in Lebanon, and we've got a Ukraine problem. Every place you look, everybody wants war, 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 war.
That's right, Gail. That's right. And you figure that this is a symptom of our problem.
I think that we have symptoms. The symptoms are just not the symptoms we're looking for.
No, they're not. But just conflict and chaos, right?
Conflict and chaos. You probably read that there was another kind of a bomb attempt with respect to Trump again today.
Right.
Or maybe that was... Oh, maybe it was today. Anyhow, I found it
really?
Today.
A bomb near Trump?
Well, they found the explosives before they went off.
Oh,
so.
Wow. Okay.
So that was good, but, you know, it's one a day now.
Yeah, that's one a day. Yeah, it's pretty often. Now, Donald Trump appears to understand what you and I are discussing, because he said, drill, baby, drill, right? He said that many times.
Yeah, well, but then he's also said, we want the price down low, and you don't really want the price down low. You want the the consumers to think the price will be low, but you want the people who are drilling to get a high enough price that they want to do this.
Yeah. Now, I did publish some stock charts of American companies that work with fracking operations. They look okay. They look okay. They're not great, but they look okay. Now, if you're right, they should be looking pretty sorry and weak, you know, very soon.
What happens is that they stop drilling new wells.
That's right.
Well, they have had a good supply of these drilled but uncompleted wells.
Yeah.
And so they could just go back and use their old inventory to kind of ramp up what their production. So that allowed them to show more profit than they would have otherwise.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like money in the piggy bank that they're pulling out to use. But that doesn't last terribly long.
Right. Now, several years ago when we talked, we've done maybe four or five interviews over the past 7 years or whatever it is. Would you have expected the crude oil production in North America to be as high as 13 million barrels a day? I mean, did that take you by surprise?
Well, you know, all of these things keep changing, and it's been hard for me to, you know, understand what they could be doing. You know, things do change. We have developed new techniques.
Yeah.
And when you develop the new techniques, and of course, what went on originally with the shale is they put together models, and they said, we're going to be able to produce oil at the same level for 30 or 40 years from these wells. And they use these models to show that they're going to get rich quick using these shale wells in the shale.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you know, the auditors signed off on these models and it looked great.
Yeah.
And it didn't even look too bad as long as the oil price was well over $100.
Right.
But as soon as it falls, it's like, oh no, this doesn't really work.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was kind of distressing that this oil bank analyst was saying that, I'll have to find it and send you a link for it. But, you know, $40 break even. And
I think that it might be lifting costs or, you know, you get some small piece out of the total and you think, oh, that's all they need and that's not.
Right. Now, the reserves of this kind of fracking oil, you know, in rocks, the reserves are thought to be large, right? Larger than Saudi Arabia. What about that issue?
No, they're not. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it's probably true, Gail, that we cannot trust the Energy Information Agency. We can't trust the Department of Energy. We cannot trust the executive branch of the U.S. government. We really cannot trust anybody. What we can have confidence in is that when we look at the news reports every day, when we wake up in the morning, it doesn't seem too exciting, right? It's pretty bad, right?
Well, they will not tell you what's really going on.
No, they won't.
They will tell you a story. You know, they've learned all the tricks from Aesop's tales.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you've been, again, I've asked you this before, and I might as well get an update from you. You do go around and speak to groups, right? And now, is there any more awareness or, you know, are they more receptive to your argument? Or, because you do speak to people who want to hear you, but are you thinking, maybe it's the second time I'm asking this today, but, and I won't keep you much longer, but are you seeing some indication that American public is beginning to realize that the authorities are lying to us?
No, I think they think that the price has to be, you know, if they're paying twice as much as they're paying for gasoline, maybe they might think about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as the price doesn't seem too bad, they don't really care.
No, you're right. You're right. That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting.
The lower the price, you know, the less they're interested in the subject. And, you know, if people were suddenly saying, oh, the price of oil is $200 a barrel, then there would be lots of people interested.
Right. So 75% of the crude oil of North America production is from fracking operations. Probably something like that.
Well, I have to look to see what actually the numbers are.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, you're figuring it's over 60%. I said 60, but it's probably over 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is basically a very light type of oil. It has a mixture in it. It doesn't give you very much diesel or jet fuel.
Right.
And so you need something like the oil from the oil sands that you can use to get the diesel and jet fuel.
My final question, Gail, before I'll let you go, but what do you predict the Federal Reserve will do with interest rates?
We could probably look online right now and find out what they did do, because they were going to announce it at 2 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me take a look. Let's see.
I'm not sure when they're actually going to do it, but.
Yeah, I think sometime this afternoon on the East Coast time.
Yeah, I don't know quite what happened.
Okay, I'm going to CNBC.com right now. And, okay, stocks surge, then cut gains in volatile trading following the Fed's supersized rate cut. So it looks like they've done a 0.5%.
50.5%.
Oh, look, that's terrible. CNBC's restricting me from looking at it. It looks like
It said Fed slashes rates by 50 basis points with 50? Stocks and home prices at record high. Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, look. Thanks so much, Gail. Is there anything you want to say? I mean, it's not that I've run out of questions, but I think, you know, we've discussed this over and over again. I just wanted to get an update from you, but
thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Take care. All the best to you. Bye.
Okay.